Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How do we calculate risk? That is the question. The governor of New York, he doesn't have the answer. This is Wretched Radio. You may recall the governor of New York laying out his worldview, how he determines what is worth what. And his conclusion was life is worth everything, except he expressed it in the negative. And if we can understand where it is that he is coming from, I believe that you and I will be able to better articulate how we go about the business of determining when should a human being be allowed to leave their home. This is not a critique on anything that has happened or that is currently happening. This is an effort to try to help us understand how we go about the business of calculating risk. Because if we do not think this through at this time, I don't think we're ever going to be allowed to go anywhere ever. In fact, I don't think we'll be allowed to stay in our homes because that's a dangerous place too. You see, Governor Cuomo is so obsessed and concerned with death, particularly his death, that he is willing to do anything to try to eliminate any danger that might cause death. You see, you and I have lived in a mitigated world. We've lived in a calculated risk world where we understand if you drive a car, you could die. Now, it's not likely. The risk is way out there. And the amount of benefit that is derived from rapid transportation on an individualized basis, it's worth it. Now, if the risk increased more and more and more and more, we'd start talking about it and going, hey, is this really worth it? And we have done that on a bit of an assumptive basis until late. But now it seems that we are putting one thing on the scale and weighing it and it alone. And that thing is death. Let me remind you of what the governor said. And as you listen to this, think of this as a weight system, a balanced scale. Calculated risk is precisely what the words imply. You calculate the dangers versus the benefits, and then you make a decision. Recognizing, because we live in a dangerous world, and we do, that's our job to tame it and to steward it and to subdue it. Nevertheless, we realize this is a dangerous place. Let us mitigate the risk, because we know we can't eliminate the risks. And so we weigh those things, and what Governor Cuomo, what you will hear him perhaps be reminded, death is the only weight. Death is the only thing that matters. As we go about the business of determining what is an acceptable risk, his answer appears to be, if it involves death, then there's no decision to be made. The only weight that goes onto the scale is death.
The illness is death. What is worse than death?
Well, what if somebody commits suicide because they can't pay their bills?
Yeah, but the illnesses may be my death as opposed to your death. You said, they said, the cure is worse than the illness. The illness is death.
Are you hearing it? I'm only considering one thing. I'm not considering any other weights on the scale. The only consideration that I have is death.
How can the cure be worse than the illness if the illness is potential death?
We're going to figure that out. Thanks for asking, Governor.
What if the economy failing
worse than death
is equals death?
Because of mental illness, the people
stuck at home.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't equal death. Economic hardship. Yes, very bad. Not death.
Write down economic hardship.
Emotional stress from being locked in a house. Very bad.
Write that not down.
Domestic violence.
Oh, write that down.
Very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not death. And not death of someone else.
We are hearing a worldview that is entirely deficient to function in a fallen, cursed planet. Thank you for that, Governor Cuomo. Perhaps you've been getting into some wrangling on the subject. How do we decide when people can be released? Now, this is not a conversation to determine that. This is a conversation to help us lead a conversation to determine that. Because here's what I'm hearing from folks, and this is more about worldview than it is about coronavirus itself. They are so afraid to leave their homes. They are so afraid to go out into society that we're going to have to wait until what? We have a vaccine, until there's a cure. Then it's safe for me to go outside. What are they expressing? What are they demonstrating? I think it's not Genesis thinking. They are demonstrating, I am not willing to take a risk of getting this thing and dying. So I want all risk eliminated. Now, what is the problem with that? We can't function. If we use death as the only weight on the scale, then you can't even stay at home because people fall downstairs and die. People can cut themselves peeling an apple and bleed to death. You see, you cannot eliminate death. We mitigate it as best we can, recognizing we are living in a busted world that is dangerous indeed, and then we go about living. Again, this is not a commentary on when to be released. This is a commentary on how to think this through. So now, envision in your noggin the weight system. Governor Cuomo just demonstrated the 2,000-pound weight on the scale is death. And there's no other consideration. I would like to suggest to you, there are other things that are weighty. Granted, death is the weightiest. There's nothing worse than death. Let's face it. You're done living. So he's right. Those other things aren't as bad as death, but they are something. They're not nothing. And that is the governor's problem. And if we don't talk about this and help people to understand, wait, there are other things that go on the scale. They're not as heavy as death, but they're not nothing. That's what the governor is expressing. These other things, they don't matter. Death is the only thing that matters. Well, no, death isn't the only thing that matters. These other things don't matter as much, but they do matter. Case in point, let's work through his list. Shall we? People losing their job. Hey, it's not death, said the governor. What is he expressing? That's the only weight. That's the only consideration. Well, I would say losing your job, it's not death. He is correct, but it's not nothing. How much does unemployment weigh? Well, if you're the person, it weighs a lot. But we as a society need to determine how much weight we attribute to unemployment. So how do we do that? We'll figure that out later. But we do some things as we figured out. Let's say we're using coronavirus as our conversation starter here. Not that I'm rendering a judgment on anything. I'm talking about talking through it. One person is unemployed. Would you say that all of this was worth it? So one person has to lose their job, but a bunch of people didn't die. You'd go, well, yeah, that was worth it. Okay, 10 people losing their job. And several people, more people didn't die because we were quarantined and we did social distancing. You'd go, well, yeah, that's worth it. Okay, 30 million people losing their job. Well, that's a lot of people. Exactly. So that weighs a little bit more. You must weigh the effect of the issue. How much does something weigh compared to death? Well, the answer is it depends on what it is and how much of it is. And so right now, I think we're at 30 million people, give or take, are unemployed. That's a weight. So think now in terms of that scale. On the left side, you've got death. Boing! 2,000-pound weight. What is the weight of 30 million people losing their job? Now, that's a bit of a trick, isn't it? Because you and I are going to wrangle over that, and I'm okay with that. Governor Cuomo is shutting the door on that conversation. Unemployment, not death. Away from me. Don't need to address that. Don't need to be concerned. It's not death. Well, it is something. How much does the loss of 30 million jobs weigh? Answer, I don't know, but it's not nothing, Governor. It weighs something. Abuse. It's not death, he said. Tell that to the woman who has a black eye. Tell that to the 15 women who have black eyes. 2,000 women with black eyes? Does that weigh nothing? No, it weighs something. It's not nothing. The question then becomes, well, how much does it weigh until the scales are either balanced or even tipped where we can determine that the cure is worse than the disease? That is the question that we will seek to answer next on Wretched Radio. Good news? Yeah! Lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
Here at Wretched, we rely on our gospel partners, because without you, there is no us. To show you how much we appreciate you and how much we need you, we wrote you a haiku. Please partner with Wretched. You will not regret it. Counting is hard. Okay, I'm the first to admit, not very good at haikus, but we do truly still need and appreciate our gospel partners. Our gospel partners not only help us keep the lights on around here, but they allow us to keep making Wretched every day. So if you are a gospel partner, thank you very much for your support. We do truly appreciate you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you consider it? If you love listening to Wretched and want to continue to hear us every day, visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. And no more haikus. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
books of the Bible. The Apostle John wrote a second epistle, which warned about false teachers who take advantage of Christian hospitality to spread false doctrine. As you continue to walk in love, be careful to distinguish between truth and error. False teachers have no fellowship with God. Therefore, God's people are to have no fellowship with false teachers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
These things are not nothing. This is Wretched Radio. The governor of New York stating every other consideration besides death should not be considered. Paraphrase, he said, abuse is bad, but it's not death. Unemployment is bad, but it's not death. Losing your business, it's bad, but it's not death. Well, he's correct. Those things are not death, but they're not nothing. And unless we can start to articulate and help people understand what it looks like to calculate risk, we're going to be wrangling over this issue of coronavirus and when we can be released into the culture. And in the future, anything that is considered a potential death threat will cause the same sort of response. And that is why I believe when we talk about this issue, a visual picture will help people understand just how to think this through, which is what this exercise is. This is not a commentary on should we or shouldn't we. This is a commentary on how you go about the business of calculating risk, mitigating dangers, because we realize you can't eliminate them. And our current death-obsessed culture wants to eliminate any potential death threat, especially one they can't control. You see, they think they've got it under control when they drive a car. They don't, because there's drunk drivers. And so they think that, well, that's safe for me to do that. And besides, it's worth it. Should I get into a fender bender? Because we always think this could never happen to me. For some reason, coronavirus has taken a grip on people, terrified them to the point of, yikes, if I go out, I could die. And again, please note, this is not a commentary on what's been done or what is being done. This is a commentary on how we think through this issue. So please, on the posts, on the video postings, please don't enter into that aspect of the conversation. This is how we go about the business of calculating risk and thinking through this issue. Because if we don't think through this issue, we're never going to leave a cocoon. We're going to have to build a bunker and have some food. And it better not have a sharp wrapper, because that could give you a paper cut. You could get MERS and you could die. You see, if we don't think this through, because apparently the governor of New York doesn't or hasn't, and our world apparently doesn't know how to think it through. So think about this as a scale system, the old-fashioned weight system. We are going to agree with the governor of New York. Death is the worst thing. No matter what happens in life, you could be dead. So that's the worst thing. And we're going to say that weighs 2,000 pounds. Now, on the right hand of the scale, it is currently empty. We recognize that many things do not weigh what death weighs. But let's see if we can put them at least on the scale to discuss, when does the scale tip? When might we be willing to leave our homes with something of a risk? Because the cure does indeed appear to some people to be getting really kind of challenging and really painful. Okay, so when does that pain outweigh some people dying? That is the issue. Do I have the answer to it? No, I don't. Am I making a commentary on it? No, I don't. This is the fifth time I've reiterated that. This is how do we weigh it? So on the right-hand side, you've now got 30 million people unemployed. That weighs something, right? Especially if you're one of those people. Or if you're the kids of those people, or if you're suddenly your tummy's hungry at night, what is that weigh? I don't know. But we're going to put it on the scale. And we're going to recognize that three people versus 30 million people has a different weight. Because let's face it, if we're all unemployed at some point, then we are all going to die. And we'd go, well, I guess we got to go back to work and take some chances here. Exactly. That's the point of this exercise. When that is, don't know. How we do that is the conversation. So you've got 30 million people unemployed on the right side. What is that way? We'll figure that out in a minute. What about the economy? He talked about, the governor talked about the economy. Yeah, the economy, it could be bad, but it isn't death. All right. Well, let's say that you've got money invested in the stock market for your retirement, and it's gone. Let's just say you've got a business, and it's gone. Do those two things weigh anything? No. One guy losing his business versus 10 versus 100 versus 1,000. It doesn't weigh nothing. How much does it weigh? Don't know the answer to that, but it weighs something. And the more people that get harmed by it, they're not dying, but they're getting harmed by it, it weighs a little bit more. So the economy, if it's affected, and if the stock market plunges, investments are lost, businesses floundering, doors being boarded up, it weighs something. Let's talk about money, shall we? Your retirement, it's what you had planned, gone. That weighs something. What about an inheritance for the kids that you were planning? That weighs something, doesn't it? You were planning on buying a home, and now the money is drained because you don't have a job and you got to put groceries on the table. And so your plans to buy a home, that weighs something. How many people have experienced that? The market is tanked with real estate right now. That weighs something is my point. It's got to count for something. The governor says it's not death. No, I say you're right. It's not death, but it's not nothing. Let's talk about trivial things for a moment, shall we? How's about entertainment? We don't get to go to movies. You don't get to go out on dates. You don't get to go out to a restaurant. It's the weekend. Maybe that's your thing. Sit down. Your family does that thing. It's your romantic date night once a month, whatever it is. It's gone. Now, those things don't weigh as much as unemployment. Those things don't weigh as much as losing your retirement, losing your business, the stock market. But they're not nothing. I mean, there is some quality of living that's a consideration, isn't it? Let's talk about some things that are heavier personally. Let's talk about the issue that the governor raised. Domestic abuse. You're telling me it's not death? Okay, Tony, you're a woman. Just work with me on this. It's okay these days. You're okay. A woman, and you've been getting beaten up by your husband because you've been locked in with the quarantine because we believe it's not death, so that's acceptable. And you've been getting beaten up, and you are going to place a phone call for help. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Bring, bring. Bring, bring. Hello, Governor Cuomo Counseling Hotline. How may I help you?
Hi, listen, I'm wondering what I do when I'm stuck in a house with someone who beats me up.
Oh, well, it's not death. Gotta go. How does that sit? You go, wait a second. That's wrong.
I'm glad he cares.
What he said to a reporter is flat out wrong, and it's demonstrable. If you're the woman getting abused, that ain't nothing. I know it's not death, but getting punched again is not nothing. Now, how many women are getting abused? How many kids are getting abused? The report, all the hints are more and more and more. Divorce. How's about the divorce rate? The request for divorce, it's going up. That weighs something, doesn't it, Governor? Of course it does. He said, it's not death. I say, I agree, but it's not nothing. How many divorces? Okay, it's one divorce, but people lived. I would trade one life for one divorce. If I had to be the accountant on these things, all right, which do you prefer? Somebody getting divorced or somebody dying? I'd go, well, obviously, the divorce, it's horrible. It's terrible. God hates it. But somebody dying? I mean, if we're playing it that way, the way that it's being set up for us. But it's not nothing. And what about 10 people, 100 people? What about all the kids from the thousands of people who are going to get divorced? What about the emotional stress? How's about the depression and the anxiety? The statistics that we found last week, the number of prescriptions, it's up like 18%. Okay, 18%, and there's millions of people taking prescriptions to help them cope with depression and anxiety. Go ahead. Tell them it's nothing. Tony, you've got depression now. Bring, bring. Bring, bring. Hello, Governor Cuomo Counseling Hotline. How may I help you?
Yeah, I need help. I'm feeling depressed.
I'm sure you are. It's not death. Ridiculous. Now, here is the question. If we've established all of these issues, fighting, divorce, emotional stress, violence, dating, movies, dining, sports, the market, businesses going under, retirement, home buying, unemployment, inheritances, all of these things, we've determined they weigh something. How much do they weigh? And the answer is, I don't know. And nobody does. But at least we can be having the conversation to say they must weigh something. We can't cast them off. Because as, thankfully, it appears the death rate is going down, the debate is happening. Well, when do we get released? When can we go do these things? I don't have the answer to that. But I would suggest that we need to recognize we're living in a dangerous, fallen, cursed world. And we cannot eliminate risk. We can only mitigate it. We must calculate, and we must do it by weighing more things than just death. If we do not, get ready for a long season of sheltering in place, like forever. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Prayer list out. Muslim Fulani herdsmen attacked a Christian couple in Plateau State, Nigeria with machetes on Sunday. 40-year-old Yusuf Pam was recovering from deep cuts to his head at a hospital in Barkin Ladi County. He and his wife, Jumai, were riding a motorcycle from Kuru to Kwai when the herdsmen ambushed them. Speaking to a Morningstar News contact, Dung Tabrai, Pam said the herdsmen stopped us. When we pleaded with them to allow us to pass, they descended mercilessly upon us. They attacked us by cutting us with machetes. Miraculously, his wife was able to escape with minor cuts and swollen hands from the beating with the sticks. She said no one responded to their cries for help until she escaped and found her way back to her village. Fellow villagers brought both to a hospital where they were treated. Pam said now his medical bills are a problem. He's been living in a camp for displaced persons since a Fulani attack 5 years ago. Actually, most of the residents of Rachos Village have been living in displaced person camps since that attack in 2015. And according to an area resident, herdsmen are attacking Christian communities without any restraint by authorities. January 30th, Christian Solidarity International issued a genocide warning for Nigeria, calling on the permanent member of the United Nations Security Council to take action. Nigeria ranks 12th on Open Doors' 2020 World Watch list of countries where Christians suffer persecution, but second in the number of Christians killed for their faith behind Pakistan. Remembering our brothers and sisters in our prayers? Here's a conundrum that really shouldn't be. A biological woman who identified as a transgender man and gave birth to a child lost an appeal last week to be listed as the father on the birth certificate. Freddie McConnell was born female, had a mastectomy as an adult, became pregnant via donation, and the baby was born in 2018. McConnell wanted to be listed as the child's father on the birth certificate, but was told by the registrar that British laws would not permit it. So, doing what we do, McConnell filed suit. A lower court ruled against McConnell last year. Last week, the Court of Appeals ruled against the transgender man as well. The three-judge panel ruled unanimously, saying, in our view, it's not possible simply to say that Parliament has decoupled the concept of mother from gender. The word mother, the court said, has special significance in British law. The justices point to the Children Act of 1989, which it said benefits the child by requiring a mother to be listed. No one else has that automatic parental responsibility, not even the father. The fact of giving birth to a child has that effect as a matter of operation of law. Last year, Judge Andrew McFarlane of the High Court of Justice ruled against McConnell as well, agreeing with the current law. McConnell says another appeal is possible. What a world. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
know your reformers. William Tyndale provided the first complete translation of the New Testament into English in 1526. While he was in prison for the crime of translating the Bible, he continued to translate the Old Testament until he was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The illness is death.
Yep, it certainly is. This is Wretched Radio, an encouragement as we go about having the conversation. When can we increasingly go out into the world to live, to continue obeying the mandate to subdue it, recognizing we lived in a cursed world? There are thorns, there are thistles, there is pain and labor, there is going to be sweat from the brow, there is going to be suffering, there is going to be death. We get that. We work to minimize that, recognizing we can never eliminate that. And then we go about the business of being obedient to God, living in a scary world that involves death. Our current, it seems, I don't know if I can call it predominant, but rather powerful worldview is no death, no risk, no death. We have to eliminate that, especially if you can cause me to die. I'm willing to take my own chances, but I'm not willing to risk you getting me sick and killing me. This is not, I repeat for the 19th time, this is not to comment on what we have done. This is not to make a date from when we should release every state in the nation. Not the point. It is how we calculate risk. That is the issue. And if we don't apparently help people understand that in very, I think, visual terms, they're going to continue to look at one issue and one issue. Could I die? Could I die? Because if I could die, I don't want to go out there. If I could die, I don't want to be with people. If I could die, I don't want to go to a sporting event. At what point do we say we're going to have to take the risk? Because we are given a mandate to subject the planet, or to subdue rather the planet, because it's a scary place. And it's a currently fallen, cursed place. The world doesn't appear to know how to do that, at least not the governor of New York, which is a little bit on the scary side. On the one side of the scale, you got death. It's heavy. It's the worst thing. On the right side, you've got all of the other aforementioned issues that we just worked our way through here on Wretched Radio. You've got family issues, domestic abuse. You've got divorce. You've got fighting and squabbling. You've got kids not getting educated. You've got tension in the home. You've got bank accounts being drained. You've got people going hungry. You've got people being abused. You've got divorces happening. You've got a stock market that is struggling. You've got businesses going under. You've got 30 million people unemployed. You have inheritances gone. Those things weigh something. How much do they weigh? I don't know, but we got to weigh them, Governor. We've got to consider them. Because the saying that has been used is philosophically correct, that the cure can't outweigh the illness. We've been hearing that, but it doesn't seem to be thought through very well, especially by the governor of New York. Hey, if it's death, forget about it. We're not going to consider anything. He's not going to look at the other side of the scale. Look at it. We must. Otherwise, I'm standing here. The light over my head could fall and kill me. I could put my mouth. I'm not going to do that because there's germs there. I know they're mine, but nevertheless, there's germs on this microphone. It could give me a shock and electrocute me. Okay, so I can't be in here. Where can you go where there's not some risk? Name it. I know. You're going to move into Glenn Beck's cinder block bunker underneath a mountain in Montana. All right. And what if the oxygen gets cut off? And what if the generator can't pump in filtered air? And what if somebody messes with that filter? And what happens if your water gets contaminated? You can't go any... This is a risky place. It's a dangerous world we live in. And we calculate and we mitigate, but we cannot eliminate. And the world, especially the governor of New York, seems to be stuck on eliminating. Can't happen. And there can be times when indeed the cure can be worse than the illness. Am I saying this is the time? I'm not. Again, this would be 20th time, if you're keeping track. You can't pick it perfectly, but you need to work through it and think it through and at least weigh the issues. For instance, how's about this? This is somebody who apparently contacted the World Health Organization, United Nations. Went to the United Nations. Here's the headline from Christian Post. Millions could die in multiple famines of biblical proportions in pandemic. All right, now this is because of the global economy being ground to a halt. An estimated 300,000 people could begin starving to death daily in multiple famines of biblical proportions within months of the pandemic, warned head of the World Food Program, David Beasley. 300,000 people a day, dead. Okay, now that's death. Now, I don't know how accurate these numbers are, but that's not the point. That there's people downstream that are suffering from this. There are people who are getting hurt by this. So now, can we at least put these deaths somewhere on the scale? Now, I know that these deaths are overseas, so we don't see these deaths. It's funny how when it's not in front of us, we don't seem to care so much, isn't it? Women who they're not allowed to leave the home anytime. And in many Islamic countries, it's an Islamic pandemic. Women can't leave the home. Not without a male. Can't drive. Can't get educated. But the feminists, they don't see those women. They just care about these women, particularly themselves. So, Governor Cuomo, what about these potential deaths that you don't see? Do they count for anything? Oh, here's another one for you. Headline from, again, Christian Post. Religious persecution is skyrocketing during coronavirus pandemic. Okay, what does persecution mean? Well, it means that according to Open Doors USA, China, North Korea, Iran, Pakistan, where Christians are consistently treated as second-class citizens, traitors, and infidels, now as the coronavirus ravages the health and livelihoods of people, Christians and other religious minorities in Asia are facing a new punishment, discriminatory distribution of emergency relief and medical care. In other words, they don't get stuff. They can starve. They can die. Christian nurses, who are seen as more expendable, they're being assigned to the riskiest coronavirus cases. Do these people count for nothing? These are nothing. Just death, especially yours, Governor Cuomo, just your death. These deaths don't matter? Of course they do. One Christian relief worker said, "We are dispensable." Yikes. Reporting that the economic discrimination is the second most prevalent form of persecution toward men in the Middle East and North Africa. Many Christians in the region are forced to low-paid jobs due to religious discrimination. And it's getting worse. Is that nothing? Well, it's nothing if you don't see it. It's not your country, maybe. You're not aware of it. And it's not you. But it is something, Governor Cuomo. If you have opportunity to have another discussion on coronavirus, and let's be honest, it is pretty much the most talked about issue of our day. Let's perhaps not draw the line to say that we should have done this 3 weeks ago. Okay, that maybe you can debate that with people maybe that agree with you that it should have been 3 weeks ago. Rather than saying it should be 3 weeks from now, how's about instead we take a look at the issue of calculated risk and mitigated risk and how we go about the business of living in a broken, fallen world. And that will inevitably help us to lead people to the Bible for answers, because that's where you've got to go. If you do not have an understanding that we're going to die and this is a scary place because of the fall, then the world is going to be demonstrating Marco Polo. Who is the guy who went looking for the Fountain of Youth?
Ponce de Leon.
I was going to say Papillon, but he died on the island, if I'm not mistaken, with Dustin Hoffman or something. At any rate,
yeah. Ponce,
we're looking to stay. We got to stay alive. No, my friend, if you're not a believer, I can explain to you why we die. It's a thing called sin. We brought it upon ourselves. Your federal head, Adam, sinned, and he brought you into the whole party, and you joined him in the rebellion. And now we live in a scary, cursed world because of sin. It should lead us to looking for an actual solution to death. because we can't find one on this planet. Human body, as it is right now, cannot live forever. And you can cut off your head and put it in a freezer and perhaps put it on a younger body in 100 years when you think we've got the technology. You're not going to live forever unless you are given a new body by God himself. And you can have one, and you can get one that will last for eternity in heaven or in hell, because we're all going to get one. The only question is, where's yours going to go? We can bring the gospel to this conversation if we just work through the issue, as opposed to just fighting over the statistical information and the models, which I think we've all learned is a futile task. Have you persuaded anybody, whatever your position is on the coronavirus, what you think it is, what the cure and all of that stuff is, or what you think the rate, what we should be doing, the response, have you persuaded anybody by sending that article? Did you convince anybody that it's worse than they think or better than they think because you sent them a video? Doesn't seem to be doing much, does it? Instead, let us help people understand we live in a fallen world, and we need to mitigate risks, and we need to weigh other things besides death to come up with a reasonable understanding of how now we shall live. That might be time better spent. This is Wretched Radio.
Imagine, it's Sunday morning. The alarm clock rings. Bring. Sorry, we got a budget. We don't have much for sound effects here. Bring. The alarm bell goes off. You jump out of bed, excited to get ready for a day at church. You put your little gaggle into the minivan. You arrive at church. You greet everybody happily. You sit down, but wait. There's no pastor. That is what it is like for thousands and thousands of Christians in thousands of churches. They have buildings, they have pulpits, and no shepherds to fill them. We can change that by supporting the Master's Academy International, many seminaries around the globe. Visit wretched.org/pastor. Pick your favorite country and adopt a seminary, and let's fill pulpits together. wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate that you choose to listen to Wretched Radio. And thanks for sending your questions, comments, conundrums, and snarks to idea@wretched.org. Got to share this one with you. I'm an 18-year-old in high school from Lubbock, Texas. I wanted to send a special thank you out to the whole Wretched organization and to Todd Friel for all y'all have done for my life and for my walk with Christ. I was converted at the age of 17 and was soon after introduced to Todd's videos on YouTube. I remember watching street preaching videos all the way to videos on what Bible translation is the most trustworthy. These free resources helped me gain a greater understanding of God and the power of the Word. I thank you again, and I hope this message is encouraging and inspires you to keep advancing the kingdom of God. Signed, Peter. It is very encouraging, and we hope to continue doing just that. To share your stories, Beep Talk is 1-877-282-BEEP. Email idea@wretched.org. To partner with us, wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the true vine. The Old Testament describes Israel as a vine planted in the desert. Jesus is the true vine, and those who trust in him are grafted in to receive life and nourishment from Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Boo-hoo, J. Crew. This is Wretched Radio. Just got a text. Looks like J. Crew filing bankruptcy. Well, it's not death. Too bad, Mr. Crew and all the employees. Boo-hoo. But it's not death. This is Wretched Radio. Gentlemen, may I ask you a question, please? My effort to try to perhaps help us walk through a rather muddy situation when the entire culture is confronted with death. How do we as a culture respond? Because right now, you're really not being given an individualized response. Not much. There's a little wiggle room. But right now, pretty much, we are all required to behave a certain way. I am not saying if that's right or wrong. I'm asking, how do we muddle our way through this complex issue to dialogue with other people without just getting into fights again about statistics? I suggested, gentlemen, death, it's bad. It's the 2,000-pound gorilla. It's the 2,000-pound weight. But there are other issues that must be weighed. Is my understanding of how to negotiate and navigate through these choppy waters a correct understanding of how to deal with calculated and mitigated risk?
I think it is a reasonable understanding.
All right. The question then is, how do you think we weigh issues like unemployment and abuse and divorce and the economy and inheritances and businesses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? How do we know when it has actually become worse than death? You got that formula figured out?
Well, my big problem is we are weighing them against estimates and guesses.
Well, that, okay, fair enough. But we're going to have to deal with what we got. Okay, you can wrangle all day long how accurate are the statistics on these different issues. But nevertheless, we're just going to assume for a moment we got what we got, so we're going to deal with these things. Fair enough? I mean, what else? How are we going to do? Because you've got to take a look at some statistics, because for instance, let's say 30 million people losing their jobs, businesses, the aforementioned list, and one person gets sick and dies. I think we've already said that it's worth it. Now, not quite like that, because that seems really coarse, doesn't it? But what we've known in the past, that we do continue to go about the business of living in this fallen, cursed world, because we have up till now. This is the first time that we've decided to quarantine everybody. 21st time. I'm not commentating on it. I'm just saying this is how we think it through. We've said to everybody, you need to stay in place. First time that we've done that, because we've determined the threat that we believe the professionals that the threat is far worse than actually having society operating. So I think for the most part, people dutifully said, okay. Now, they maybe grumbled along the way, and that's their right to do that. But for the most part, it's been pretty orderly when you take a look at it. Pretty amazing, really. But in the past, we've decided whatever the flu death rates were, well, we're going to go out and about because, well, we can't shut everything down. All right. Now, again, I'm not going to compare the flu to COVID. That wasn't the point of bringing that up. The point was, historically, we've determined there are some things that are worth the risk. How do we determine when that is? Well, you've got to take a look at the number of deaths. I mean, what are we actually talking about here? You do need to take a look at things like how contagious is it? How equipped are we to handle it? I think those are all the right questions to be asking. It seems, though, nobody's been asking the other questions. What do these other things weigh? The economy, money in people's bank accounts, the ability to, you know, buy food, to go outside, to enjoy life even, and to go put your hand to the plow and work. And it's, all of those issues, we need to weigh those too. And I don't think that there's ever going to be perfect consensus on this, but maybe if you've been a little bit consternated that the conversation hasn't been very robust, maybe, just maybe, this is a way to help it and to help people visualize it. Let me demonstrate again how fallen the world's thinking is on these issues and how we can help. Because if we don't, well, then we better get used to not complaining about anything, because bad thinking is going to continue. And my little prediction, I'm not a prophet because that office doesn't exist anymore. I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you, Start thinking about wacky things that could happen to our world and then get ready for it. Because it's going to happen. You would not have predicted this a year ago. You wouldn't have guessed something like this a year ago. Look, the world is demonstrating its worldview. And the worldview is, we cannot die at any cost. I will not die at any cost. This came out, in fact, it's in this particular article that demonstrates this. There was a senator, I'll find his name for you, or congressman, governor, who said, look, I'm like 60-something, I'm in that risk category, and I'm willing to die so that the economy can stay open and my kids can thrive. And that, look, you can debate that subject, but that was greeted with an overwhelming boo! Because people couldn't imagine, wait a second, you mean somebody might die in order for this to keep happening? And the answer is, well, we used to make that decision without actually discussing it. Because we used to have this friend called common sense. That's for the most part is gone. We need to help people think this through a bit. Let me share with you this ridiculous article from the Washington Post. Something strange is going on with Republicans. Take Texas, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. He was rock solid, anti-abortion bona fides. He's a pro-life guy. Last year, when Texas was on the verge of defunding Planned Parenthood, he tweeted, in Texas, we respect the sanctity of life. Yet last week, urging his state to reopen after being shut down because of a coronavirus stay-at-home order, he said, there are more important things than living. Now, I don't think that's great phrasing, because the governor of New York is right. Death is the worst thing, and living is the best thing. So I don't think it was a careful phrasing that helped people to understand what we've been talking about now for a half an hour or more. But there are things that you weigh and that you consider. But do you see the problem with this reporter? It's David Cohen and Mary Ziegler of the Washington Post. What are they missing in this, despite the way the governor phrased it? Let me give you another one. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. In 2016, he praised the anti-abortion March for Life for continuing despite bad weather because of how important it was for people to show that all Americans have a right to life. But a month ago, he said it was unwise to shutter the economy when only between 1 and 3.4% of the population who gets coronavirus will die. Now, again, those statements, whether they're in context or not, I understand why people like bristle against them. But why? What are these two authors missing in this? It's really quite simple. Two things. One, the easy one. There's a difference between a contagious virus that's indiscriminate when it goes about the business of getting into people's lungs versus a doctor going into a woman's uterus to remove the baby that is inside of the womb. In other words, there's a difference between a virus and murder. Simple as that, y'all. But there's the other underlying problem here is they can't imagine that any death is acceptable. That's what they are revealing here. No death. Can't have any death. So you people who say that you're pro-life, you don't want death, but you're willing to let people die because of a virus. They can't put it together. They can't figure this out. And I haven't heard anybody explain it in any reasonable way that might cause them to go, oh, okay, I see. I mean, we've been doing that all along. Because we have been using things like cars, haven't we? You get into a car, you accept some risk. I'm not sure they're grasping that, though. I think the foundational understanding needs to be there must be some calculated risk. You cannot eliminate it all. Otherwise, we can't live. These people write, the dichotomy is striking. Not really, when you remember there's a difference between a pandemic and the intentional taking of an innocent human being, which, by the way, Joe Biden, as an aside, claims that abortion is an essential health care service during a woman's town hall event. Quote, we need to ensure, by the way, they thought he was reading this. We need to ensure that women have access to all health services during this crisis. Abortion is an essential health care service. It's being used as a political wedge right now, and it shouldn't be. The American College, Clearly, he was reading this. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the American Medical Association agree it shouldn't be categorized as a procedure that can be delayed. It can't. And in this case, healthcare delayed means healthcare denied. States should not be using public health crises to infringe on a woman's constitutional rights. I'm going to have to go read that again. I don't remember that being in there. Nevertheless, he is leading a political party. And while there's an effort these days in evangelicalism to say, it doesn't matter, let's stop fighting, it's just about the gospel, daddy-o. So if you know somebody who's going to vote for a pro-abort, don't worry about it. You believe in Jesus, right? So just chill on it. I say, fah. We care for lives, all lives, as we go about the business of weighing the issue, because we recognize because of the fall that there are mitigated and calculated risks. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.